T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of the Launch Sequence Podcast. We've got a good one. It's IAE, so you know this is going to be a very ship-heavy episode. And if you look at the two folks we've got on screen, very mining-heavy. And lucky for us, we just had a mining ship. Wow!
So, I thought I was here to talk about the Storm AA.
I didn't tell them why they were here, guys. Sorry. I just told them there was going to be a podcast. We got Kronzy. This is the cold open. The warm open was a little bit too much, so I thought we'd go with this. Red Monster and Kronzy, though. Welcome, guys. How you doing?
Howdy.
Good to have you on the show again.
Yeah.
Good to chat again for the first time since CitizenCon, I guess. Yeah.
Got to see this both these guys at CitizenCon, actually. I guess before we get into things, you guys already know what we're going to talk about, so I don't need to introduce again. Mm-hmm. Before we get into things, though, what'd you guys think of CitizenCon, being there in person?
I had to stand up and commentate the entire weekend.
You
so that
were working.
It sucked.
Yeah.
But the bit where I got to meet everyone on every night, that was fantastic. Meeting the Star Citizen community was awesome. Never really done anything like that before, so it was super cool.
Yeah, it was. I think they did a great job with the live experience, you know, the pyro, like ruin station type vibe. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the panels were a good level of detail without going like completely overboard. Like a lot of times, you know, last CitizenCon with the virtual, you know, they had Chris with his interview and people were, you know, the free Jared meme came. I felt like it was the right level of content. And for me, I kind of nerded out. My butt was glued to the chair for every single panel. So it was good to be there. So.
Speaking of that, me and Morph were sitting together and we actually made the really dumb decision of about halfway through the engine panel, we got up to go and get in line for pyro. And so we spent the entirety of the server meshing section, the most important section of the whole thing, in line, mm-hmm. not being able to hear what was going on, being like, oh man, do we go back? Oh God, what do we do? Got to the very front of the line when we were finally like, you know what? We should probably go. And by then it was over. So, Red Monster,
the line, just go play pyro. Geez.
Yeah. Red Monster, you did a little bit better on the plastering the butt than I did. But I agree, man. The amount and way they presented the information was great. And like meeting the community and like, obviously everyone got hyped from this event. But being there, the energy, people say it all the time, the energy was in the air. It was like those parties afterward were popping off. they would not have been if CitizenCon was not that fun.
Yeah, I got my credit card bill for the bar, and I'm gonna need to have to do a Kronzy level subathon to get that one going.
Yeah, that was all my IAE went to went to the bars out at LA. Yeah, but that was fun. It was great to meet you guys, and I hope you both are gonna be there next year.
Yeah,
hopefully, if it does end up being in Manchester, that's like double the flight costs for me. So,
ooh, really?
It's way more expensive. So that could be fun. Trying to figure out how to pay for that.
Honestly, I was thinking like the flight to America was terrible and I was hoping it'd be a place closer. What would be like the closest place that they could do one for you?
Australia. Otherwise, LA is the closest. Like, okay. Because it's either West Coast, East Coast, England, or like Frankfurt, right? Those are essentially the options.
Yeah.
Europe would be probably 20 hours of flying. And then, the US is 14, 15 hours of flying. So,
wow. And I thought
living in Australia. I generally do, but this stuff, it really sucks.
I was going to say, I thought we were isolated out here in America. Wow, 20 hours over to Europe. That's, man. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say. I hope it's in LA again next year, I guess, for your sake.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Let's talk about the actual interesting stuff today, which is Star Citizen, as they are wont to do, release a new ship. Well, a new ship concept. And it's an exciting one. It's different, I think, both in style and in kind of use case than a lot of other ships. I think every other ship we've gotten, it comes in at like a kind of a medium-sized mining ship. So this is the Arastra, right? That's the word? That's the name?
It is. I wouldn't classify it as a medium-sized ship.
Okay.
Though this thing is the size of a Carrick. That is quite large. So it's not capital, but it's large for sure. By most metrics, it's large.
It's like their medium ship compared to the Orion and the Mole.
But you know, like a Valkyrie is a small ship in comparison to an Idris. So
as far as like their categorization goes, this is a large ship. What's the crew?
Five.
So what exactly is this ship meant to be? We have the Prospector, single person. We have the Mole, four people. We know about the Orion. This is supposed to hit some new area of gameplay. Can you guys go into that?
Go ahead.
I really see it as the long distance miner, right? The one out in the Untamed Lands, that it's your all-in-one inclusive for ore mining operations. You can go out, and with a direct refinery on board, you don't have to have that timer that you're always racing to beat back to the refinery station, or having the support crew, like having your expanses or your galaxy with those refinery modules. It's fully contained as far as the mining, the refining. You can offload to a whole sea, or you can travel back. You know, it's got the size 3 components, so you know the range on this is going to be big. The capabilities are going to be big, and I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But overall, I see it as kind of the long range. If the Carrick is that exploration vehicle, the Arastra is the Carrick for mining, right? Mm.
How would you say the Mole is also long range, or maybe because it doesn't have a refinery, like you said, with the timer, that's the problem there? Yeah. So
not really. The mole sort of feels more like a fleet ship. Like, you're likely to have a couple of moles in an org running around, and then using your resources of like expanses to help with the Mole. This is a self-contained home away from home mining ship. The way that I've been talking to people about it is, it's essentially what people thought the Odyssey was going to be. Yeah. But like, actually, it's actually that for mining.
Right. So let's compare it to the Odyssey then, because the Odyssey is more kind of exploration focused. And I guess this kind of helps to define the Odyssey better, right? How does this ship coming in change your understanding of that ship?
So this one's more of like an actual industry ship. The Odyssey definitely lends itself more towards surveying more than this does, and a bit more exploration, whereas you will take the Arastra out to make money, just straight up. You will just grind down rocks.
To use an analogy from another popular space game, Elite Dangerous, it's like having an exploration ship with a fuel scoop on it. That's how I see the Odyssey, right? You're going to be able to mine and refine your own fuel. You won't necessarily be able to, my understanding is, you won't be able to refine from, you know, the vehicles that are in that bay. You know, they talked about it being able to haul a prospector or something.
It's
the equivalent of having that fuel scoop on your exploration vehicle, just to give it that longer range. Where I wouldn't say that the Odyssey really qualifies as a mining ship.
It has the capabilities to. It's more of an afterthought sort of thing, it feels.
Yeah, it's the sidecar, not the motorcycle.
Right. So this ship's got a crew of 5 people. What kind of armament does it have? Because they've got some pretty interesting mining laser setups, right?
It does, yeah. So it's, so to start off with, it's regular stuff. So it's got 3 size 3 mining lasers, one on each of its like little prongs, because it's RSI and they love having their little front prongs, and then one in the center that can move up and down. But it is so defensive compared to every other industry ship that's come out, in my opinion, except for maybe the Reclaimer. It has 3 remote turrets, all with 4 size 3s.
Wow.
Yep. And because that's not enough, it also has a pretty decent missile capacity too. It's got like a couple of 5s, bunch of 3s, 2s, 1s. It's pretty beastly.
Is it just a warship with like mining lasers as special weapons?
It feels like it.
Yeah, it kind of feels like they've taken the Rocinante and given it 3 remote mining lasers. Right? That's
interesting. Yep. I wonder, I mean, we haven't gotten the Q&A on it, right? So they haven't really explained that, I'm guessing it's just the idea that it is out there alone, so it needs to be defensible. And it's a big ship, right? How many meters long is it?
116. Yeah, 116 landed, like, is what people have been saying or something.
Okay.
It's around 120. So it's pretty long.
You compared it to like Carrick size. Do you guys know what weapons that has on it?
I mean, Carrick's got the remote turrets.
Right? It does, but it's got rhinos.
Yeah.
Well, it's got the two man turrets on the side.
Yeah, and then it's got remote turret bottom. I want to say remote turret top as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's got like fours and stuff on it. But
okay,
it just feels a little weird. Every other industry ship, once again, besides like the Reclaimer, has been very indefensible. And I always sort of thought that that was a relevant and good way to balance those sort of ships for making money and whatnot. But this is changing things a bit. And I don't know if that's the route they want to go. I will say, at least with the missiles, there's no way this thing maneuvers particularly well. It's extremely long. It's going to be heavy. It has 516 external cargo plus like 64 internal. So it's going to be hard for you to actually get missiles into your shots unless you're using the Toby. No, I'm not going to go into that.
Sponsored podcast.
It's going to be hard to hit with those, but the turrets themselves are in pretty good spots.
That is, I hope that's one of the questions that's answered on the Q&A, because you're right. It kind of, you always think of these ships as being something that needs to be included in a fleet of some sort. These larger ships, maybe not as much, but like one of the questions I had here for you guys was like, how does this fit into a fleet? Because it's almost assumed that, yeah, you have this like all-encompassing self-sustaining ship, but at the same time, there is always kind of something else you might need. Do you think there are other ships this would still need in support, or is this kind of like just a Lone Ranger all the time?
I think 9 times out of 10, you're going to be operating it solo, as in no other ships, not one person, but by itself. Yeah.
Okay.
But do you think it's going to be solo operatable, Kranzi? I know you're very
everything is
solo
technically
mole.
Solo operatable.
Just got to run around fast enough.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's going to be operable, but it's going to be a nightmare for engineering, I would assume.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the power balancing on this is going to be nuts.
Yeah, I do see this as a ship that you're generally going to be the only ship out there, or you're going to operate this in tandem with maybe a prospector or a mole, and maybe, you know, it, depending on how large your operation is, you know, you're going to pair it with a couple other mining ships. You may go out with a medical ship as well. I mean, it doesn't have great medical capabilities, but you know, if you can fit a Pisces rescue into that hangar bay, you know, you kind of got that all in one. So
yeah, the flying with prospector is pretty relevant too, because so it has the size 3 mining lasers. Assuming they stick with the same sort of stuff that they did with the rebalance this year of larger mining lasers having a higher minimum laser power, it's going to be really hard to crack really small rocks with those size 3 lasers. So if you have a prospector with you, then that's you know, it's actually going to assist.
Okay. And then you have like a hangar bay where you can have some like rocks, just chuck a rock out into space and have it do it some, a little bit of mining on its own.
Exactly.
Speaking of the prospector and the mole, I think one of the things that they kind of highlighted with the release of this, one of the things that was specifically mentioned was that the mining lasers can move back and forth on a rail so that the pilot doesn't have to nudge the ship around in order for somebody to be able to aim at a rock. That feels like one of those things that they get after they've introduced the gameplay and they get to kind of build a ship based on the problems that they've found. And we've seen that happen a few different times with different ships. Do you think that those sorts of knock-on effects that they get from experience are going to impact those earlier ships, or are those players kind of left with a less capable ship because it was made earlier?
You know, I think the mobility of the rail is more of a critical piece for this, because it's a much larger mining ship than what we've had before. For the prospector, you're in the pilot seat, you're maneuvering, like that's never been an issue. You can point that laser where you want. Yeah. I think the only time where that becomes a problem is if you're in like a 7-rock cluster, you've broken everything and there's fragments all around and you're going to collide with things as you're moving around. The mole, if you're trying to do it solo or as a skeleton crew of like one or two, where that pilot is always moving back and forth, that's where the repositioning of a turret would be beneficial. There's a lot of times it gets out of the, you know, out of the firing arc, and you got to go spend some time reposition. That's a minor inconvenience, and I think one that an experienced mole pilot can generally overcome. But for this rock, or for this mining vehicle, the Arastra, You're going to plug it into, hopefully, a large, irregularly shaped deposit and not have a lot of mobility. And so that's where it's important to be able to shift the positioning independently.
Yeah. So in this specific situation, this is definitely something that applies more to the large ship.
I'd say so.
Well, like you can see more use cases for it that are realistic, I think.
Yeah.
Is the big thing.
I mean, the equivalent is the Reclaimer, right? We've got the Reclaimer remote turrets, and if that's out there salvaging, you know, that's probably a lesson they've learned from the salvaging gameplay there compared to, like, the Vulture, per se.
Right, and the Vulture, I think, would be a good example of something that we might see a salvage ship come out later that would fix the problems that the Vulture obviously has that people have pointed out, and the same question would apply. You know, do you think that they would release that ship, fix those problems, and then come back to the Vulture and fix it there as well?
I think they've proven with other features that they've gone back and fixed things before, of issues with certain mechanics and ships and stuff.
Yeah.
But I honestly think it's not a relevant concern yet. Maybe a couple of years down the line, if we do have enough issues, especially when all these features are still so, even mining is still so up in the air with like its balancing and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's in a couple of years down the line. Yeah. If it's still an issue, you know, if we really are annoyed about how hard it is to position a Vulture or whatever, and they haven't fixed that, then it's an issue. But I think, I don't think it's an issue at the moment.
Honestly, when I even think of the Vulture's problems, I think it's more to do with the cargo area.
Yeah.
That would be something they'd go to. But yeah, I think, this, we're kind of getting into like gold standard rework territory. Like, they will come back and fix all of these ships at some point. These particular changes, I'm always curious how they'll be translated in, because some people have a lot of complaints about their ship and how it does what it does. Like the Terrapin, for instance, I imagine will probably get changed because exploration gameplay will come in and they'll be like, wait a second, this ship is dedicated to an entire, like, it's, you know what I mean, the tech debt.
Although I will say, just on that, I think those kinds of issues don't tend to arise when we've got a ship that doesn't have its mechanics. It tends to arise when a ship comes in with a new mechanic, like the Vulture did, like the Prospector did. So I wouldn't expect to see that issue with the Terrapin, but I would expect to see that issue with like the hacking ship that I can't even think of the name of right now.
Legionnaire.
The Legionnaire. Yeah, I would expect there's probably going to be it's obviously not going to be positional or like, the cargo, but some sort of issue with that, because it's not just their first exploration into the mechanic, but stuck onto that ship as well.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about mining itself. I actually don't know if this ship is made specifically for a certain type of mining. Obviously the Orion is made for space mining, so you're not taking it down on a planet. But do you think with this thing having like a cargo or not like a vehicle bay with the ability to have those rock DSs in there and stuff, is this something that might be focused more on planetary mining in your opinion, or is it an all arounder, just based on like marketing?
I don't think you'd be doing much planetary mining, but lots of moon mining and lots of asteroid mining. The times that you are going to be going down to planets, it does have VTOLs and stuff, but the times you are going down to planets is probably going to be just to drop off the ROCs and do a little bit of exploration, whatever you're doing, do some cave mining. But at least from what they've said so far, it definitely seems to be mostly a space miner.
Yeah, I'd agree there. And I think the opportunity for the size of rocks, the size of deposits you're going to find are going to be limited planet side. I foresee them bringing in some larger deposits, something an order of magnitude larger than we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is, we got a demo of the Maelstrom system that manages both the destructible environments and kind of managing how ships break apart. It seems like it would be logical to take that same system and put it onto a very large, irregularly sized deposit that you can then break into sub chunks that are then manageable for something like a Mole or a Prospector. But it starts off as something significantly larger, you know, not that potato uniform, you know, mostly asteroid we got now. Something much larger that needs to be broken down first to be able to get manageable.
Yeah, persistent deposits and like bore mining, I think, is something that everybody wants to see who's involved with this. And that's kind of what I was wondering, is if you think something like this, they'll take this as an opportunity to introduce new types of mining. So you're thinking it'll be changes mainly in deposit size. Do you think they might change the actual process of breaking down the rocks besides just the breaking the bigger chunks, like you said?
I don't think they will for this. The only thing that sort of does speak to me a little bit that maybe they're going to go a different route with these size 3 mining lasers is in all of the artwork for the Arastra. If you look at the mining turrets, they're all like double lasered. Now, that could mean a couple of different things, but there is a possibility that it means they want to actually, change how mining works as you do get into these larger asteroids. Maybe it isn't breaking down anymore. Maybe it's about extracting from a rock and the rock stays there sort of thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
CRG, maybe. But I think the real big change in mining will come with the Orion. Otherwise, I think it's likely, and it's probably good, that they try to focus still just on the current form of the profession, because it works.
Well, and maybe that's, the CIG's had this problem where they bring in ships that don't have the gameplay to support it. I feel like to start, when this vehicle gets delivered, it's going to be doing mining very similar to what we have now. But because the Orion is going to need that larger, I think this is the vehicle that's going to help us test that next phase. It's going to be capable of both. Mm-hmm. It will be overkill for what we're doing right now. So there's obviously some balancing that will need to be done with mining how we know it today. But as we start getting into the much larger, if we're doing that bore mining, the direct extraction rather than breaking down, I feel like it's going to be able to be capable of kind of that both tiers.
Okay.
That would be good. I would love to see that. I mean, we've all, like, the Orion's been around for a long time, and it's always presented this question of, like, where is mining going to go? Because right now we're just shooting lasers into rocks and breaking them apart. To be honest, I never even considered Maelstrom being applied to it. That would be very cool, though, to see what they could do. Because right now it's super standard. You crack the rock, it breaks into, like, 5 chunks, and... It's very similar. It'd be cool to see like a more procedural system like that.
And the way we have it right now is absolutely not what I want to be doing with an Orion. I don't want to go to a moon-sized asteroid and have it break into 7 different lemon slices and then figure out how to go through each one, right?
Yeah.
That would be incredibly boring. I feel like they need to bring in something that looks, we saw anybody who got the Pyrotech preview, gigantic asteroids like with holes bored through them hundreds of kilometers or hundreds of meters across that you can fly your ships through. I want to be able to break down something like that.
Something that you can put your org on for like 2 days straight and just keep shipping stuff out. Agreed. You said that the process is pretty good, Kronzi, but I'm guessing you guys have plenty of criticisms and things you'd like to see change. What are some obvious problems you see with the current mining process? And then like kind of to attach onto that, do you see any of those problems solved with this new ship?
My biggest one is that even though there is quite a variety of materials, it never really feels like a variety. It always sort of feels like you're doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. And a lot of that more has to do with there not being a like next tier of like construction. Like there's nowhere for us to use these materials. It's just cell. So that's a big complaint I know I have. I know Red, well, I assume Red still has one, which I'll let him say, that I think has to do with location still.
That leads right into it. My criticism is that you go to any planet, any moon, any asteroid field, any Lagrange point, and you scan for 2 or 3 good tier 1 materials, and they're always going to be really high resistance, really high instability. There's no differentiation. Like my feedback on the 319 changes was we need to get 3 archetypes, right? We need to have rocks that are very, very massive, right? But resistance and instability are not great. We need to have rocks that are high resistance, but maybe not massive or unstable. And then high instability, the same, like not massive, not resistant. You start doing those 3 tiers, those 3 archetypes, and say, you have a reason to now specialize a loadout for resistance reduction.
Right.
And you put those deposits in a specific location. You say, okay, all of our really high mass stuff, if you're familiar with planetary formation in star systems, all of the high mass stuff is generally closer to the star, right? So all our gold, the quantanium, and the really high density stuff, bring those there. That's where the moles can just live and absolutely just go ham, right? You want to have the really big rocks there. Then as you get further out, then you start getting into the highly resistant stuff. And in the far reaches, that's where you get the unstable stuff. It hasn't been touched by solar flares. It's still out there really pristine. Mm. But then you have a place where prospectors and kind of the mid-range like solo mole, they don't go into the center for the really big mass stuff, but they gear towards instability or resistance reduction, and they can go to those other locations and find places they're successful with. I've seen a lot of complaints about the current balancing for prospectors that they just run into rocks that are way too massive, right?
Yep.
7 times out of 10, like, you're going to find a rock and it's going to be too big for a prospector to go in the current balance. Now, some of that is balancing. Some of that is the mineral distribution. But if you go and look at what materials can pop into any deposit right now, Quantanium is on every single deposit type, gold, Terranite, Bexalite, every single deposit type with about the same percentages. And that's what people are going after.
Yeah.
This man knows his rocks.
Yes. Yeah, so it's about having, like, if you are a prospector miner, it's about being able to better choose your location and have a better time because of that. You know, might not make as much money, but that's not the point. At least you're not slamming into a wall the whole time, right?
Yeah. It's annoying to not be able to know where you need to go to do what you want to do. Yep. And that kind of felt like they were starting in that direction with the 318 resource rebalance, but it sounds like you're saying there needs to be a lot more robust difference, almost archetypes for people to go after.
Yeah, I would say that, like, the thing is, all the modules and the gadgets and stuff feel like they are balanced for that. They feel like they are balanced for ways for you to, like, preemptively, I know what I want to mine, so I've kitted out this certain way.
Yeah.
But you can't really do that, because you'll just go out there and it's just like, did I find today?
Yeah, the main drivers are going to be, like, the common materials. Those have some, like, they don't do a good job of differentiating the archetypes there. Everything basically has a really minimal effect on the optimal window, minimum resistance and instability increases. It's the density that's really driving things a lot right now. And I think they need to shift more to a hard archetype and pull some of those tier ones and Quantanium out of deposits in a logical way that's going to help support that type of gameplay.
So, for you guys, a lot of the problem with mining is on the resource side as opposed to the active player controlled side.
Yeah. Like, there's the original question, like, 8 hours ago was, like, does the Arastra solve any of these problems? It doesn't, right? It's just a new way of mining. The only problem it does solve is just bringing more refining into the game, which is just always good. Yes, please.
True. So, yeah. That actually, I guess, begs a question. You guys think that we'll have refining ships before this ship makes it into the game? Like, you think the Expanse will already be in?
Maybe. Like, so the two big hurdles when they announced the Expanse was tractor beams and refining. Tractor beams is done.
I
guess they're both just waiting on refining. So I feel like we'll probably see the Expanse first. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I take it back immediately. We will probably see the Arastra first because they're working on RSI ships. And so I think it'll be a while before they go back to Misk.
Okay. You think that they're working, like, they're going to try and get this one out fairly quickly?
They might. Yeah. It's more just that, like, if I was betting, I would bet that the
RSI is their focus right now. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. For people who are looking into mining and looking for a special opportunity, this does not necessarily present a different experience besides the increased size and the addition of refining. At least from what we know.
That we're seeing at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. They haven't talked about, and maybe this is going to come out with a Q&A, but they haven't talked about any changes to the way that the lasers are going to function if we still have to attach physical modules to it. You know, one thing I would love is that as we get to these larger size lasers, we don't have those modules we have to attach every time. We have tunable parameters on the laser itself that, you know, maybe we increase, you know, we can get higher quality lasers that do a better job of that. But you'll be able to turn on, you know, specific settings in the laser, you know, wavelength filters and capacitors that help bring some of those resistance or instability down.
Yeah.
Bringing those as an onboard piece rather than a standalone module that you can attach and remove.
I need to get back out there and actually do the mining with these components, because I did it back during 3.19 when they updated, and there was like instability and stuff going on then. But now that like they've like refined stuff, it sounds like mining is a just really fun time in a group now. Would you say so? Is it still feel a little bit bland? Are you getting bored of it by now? Was it at least fun before?
I have not been as incentivized to do it recently as I have in the past, mostly just because a large sort of reason that I would do it in the past was UEC, because it was always a great moneymaker, and just money has been an absolute mess in the game for the last 8 months.
Yeah, it has.
So it's hard to be incentivized to do it. I've gone out a couple of times in the mall since 3.19, and obviously like to check balance changes and stuff. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. It's a bit weird at the moment. I think I'm mostly just waiting for a wipe, and then I'll spend several months in the mall.
Yeah,
that's fair.
For me, I mean, I'm out mining every Sunday in a group. We get 20, 25 people at a time, and you know, we're trying to make sure we're staying sharp on the tools for managing that large of a group. What our distribution is going to look like, how to help payouts and security and, you know, medical support, kind of practicing as a fleet. But it's not been a credit making thing. You know, we've had salvage that was 50 million an hour, completely broken moneymaker. Yeah. We've had other issues that are driving the economy out of whack. But you know, it's kind of coming back to that same, like, it's great to pop in Sunday morning, just have a bagel, break some rocks, you know, talk about food or life or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's more of the relaxed experience, you know, while still enjoying yourself, playing a game, making some money.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
I think that's the nice part about these industrial loops is they're pretty relaxing, but like you can make them fairly intense on your own. How's your guys' session today?
It was good. I think with the free flight servers trying their best to murder everybody, we scraped out like 5 million as a group and nice. had a pretty good session. So
cool.
Not to mention, apparently there was some backend issues this morning.
Oh dude, we got in early before that. So, but yeah, people trying to join later on, got stuck at the login screen. So,
That's rough. That's rough. Sounds like 2023. How do you guys think mining for folks is going to be changed by engineering and power management? Because we talked about the Arastra being a 5-person ship, and like, you can run it with the people that they tell you if you were to like take people off of turrets to do other stuff or off of lasers, but mining lasers must take a lot of power. So engineering is going to be pretty interesting for the mining gameplay. How do you think it's going to change the way people are approaching it?
Yeah, for the Arastra in particular, it's going to be super relevant because you've also got the refinery on board as well. I imagine that's also going to take a lot of onboard resources, right? It's very likely, at the very least, based on what they sort of in the reading material, I guess, they mentioned that if you are mining, you will have someone in the refinery room at the same time. So having to deal with all the engineering issues that will result from that are going to be a pretty big deal. I also wouldn't be surprised if things like refineries have a knack for bursting into flames. Same thing with lasers. Yeah. Turns out when you're melting rocks, it can get a little hot. So,
oh, come on. That's never gone poorly.
Never gone wrong. We have mining accidents in the history of time.
Nope. We have rocks today that in a perfect green zone optimal break, you've kept it under the 10% mark in that green zone, and it still explodes and blows all your modules off.
No, is that a glitch or like
it's a damage calculation like issue? It's sometimes it's a glitch, sometimes it's like it's sort of intended.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
rude. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean engineering is going to change everything, but especially like you said with both mining and refining on board, the balancing that's going to go into these larger ships of like, yeah, you might have turrets, sure, you might be able to like run stealth, but when you're mining, your signature is higher.
Yeah.
You have no people defending you. You've got people in the engineering seat. Like, these are the weird considerations that we don't have to spend any time thinking about with ships. And it's going to affect everybody, but I can't imagine how much mining will see a change.
Yeah. I also imagine, because they did talk about engineering during SCL this week, and they talked a little bit about, you know, like there are going to be more complex things going into larger ships in the future. I would imagine any ship that has some sort of onboard activity, like refining, like mining, like scanning, surveying, doing science, whatever, I do assume there's going to be an element of you can, like, overdrive.
Yeah.
This module, if you want, right? You can turn your refinery up to 120% if you want to risk it, that sort of thing. So it's not going to just be a case of it is now harder to do this. There's likely to be bonuses to that sort of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yep. You got a good engineer, a good tuner, you can make your stuff run a little hotter.
Yeah. I see them introducing components specific for like refineries or lasers, you know, that can be tuned, that require their own capacitors. I feel like that resource network node that sits next to the mining laser or the refinery station is going to be a very complicated, very busy area on that graph with the amount of components that hopefully you'll have in there, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, like, you know, Kronti said it, like, with refineries, you're going to have to deal with outgassing of elements. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're processing these elements, there's byproduct that's going to be hazardous. And the engineering gameplay and some of those components, they're going to need to work if you've got if you've got an abatement type unit that breaks down, you're going to start filling with toxic gases in your living areas. You know, that's one to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting when I went back to, I think it was the Expanse Q&A, and they talked about refining gameplay and how you'd have like reagents and like combustives, and like you might have to craft your own things that then you would then use in the refining process. And it sounded, I always forget how deep this game is going to get, but I was like, okay, this is going to be
very hands on.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where that goes. I'm kind of bummed we haven't seen it yet. I thought we'd see refining this year. I mean, when I was more hopeful about this year, I did. But I do hope we get it next year. So. I mean, looking at Pyro, like, definitely refueling is going to have to be improved as a player-to-player service, right? And refining seems like a good shoo-in for that as well. But at least as far as what you said earlier, Kronti, it sounds like you're thinking refining will be a little further out.
I think it will. But once again, sort of like newer development of the squadron teams moving over to Star Citizen on SCL, they mentioned they're doing onboarding right now for the gameplay feature team, right? So things like refining and insert every other feature that hasn't come out yet.
Let me get my book out.
Get another look soon.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. All right, let's talk more about general gameplay. This was, unless there was anything else you wanted to touch on mining or the Arastra, I kind of want to pick you guys' brains about other parts of the game, if you don't mind.
I will just say it's way too expensive. That shit should be $100 cheaper.
We did not touch on that. I actually don't know what the price is, but I've seen the reactions.
Non-Warbond $575. So this the price the Orion was before the price increase.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. It's a lot.
That's like more than the Hull D, yeah?
I mean, the Hull D is definitely going to go up.
Well, yeah. But in concept wise, it feels like that's hefty.
It is. And there are things that you can point out to be like, in comparison to the other ships, this makes sense, but it still feels weird, right? Like, once again, it does have almost 600 SEU of cargo total.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot. That soaks up a lot of the cost.
Yeah.
It's new mining stuff. That's some of the cost, but it still just feels like a lot for an industrial ship.
That's a lot. I'm expecting it to be a moneymaker, but honestly, we're a little in the dark on how they even choose the pricing. Because like, if you try to compare ships in terms of pricing, even if they are all in-game ships, a lot of times it doesn't make sense. Like, some of them have alien tax, and then like the Sulan came out and it doesn't have the alien tax, and then like this ship is industrial and it's cheap, but this one's combat and it's like a $250 single seat fighter, so like it's hard to place.
I'm glad you brought up the Sulan, because that one I would have fully expected to be $120-$150 pledge, and they come out at half of that, and it was just like it's a great looking ship.
The alien tax doesn't exist, guys. I have for like 2 years been trying to convert people to let them know the alien tax doesn't exist. The Asperia tax exists. That's the real tax.
But are the Aopoa things not more expensive?
They have the combat tax. just like every other combat ship has those taxes. Yeah. The things that I compare it to is the BMM, which is still underpriced, honestly, and the Raylan, which is $300 for a ship that has a lot of cargo.
Yeah.
Overall, I wish they could make the pricing based on how much they expect the ship to be able to make in game, but then they can't do that because they don't even know how much things are going to make in game. So,
yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I'll just tell people, take the pricing as you supporting the game, because when push comes to shove, you can get all these in game. You should not buy them by dollars. And if you do, there's a really good chance that A, the ship's going to change to what you didn't like, or B, something else is going to come out that you like better and you're just going to end up melting it. So it's like the conversation around ship prices is complex and it's deep and it can go on forever. But, you know, a lot of times I think these ships are overpriced for what they do.
And you look at maybe last year's Galaxy release, how many people melted Galaxies this year to get an Arastra now?
I did.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's kind of testament to how freaking good they're getting at making ships. Like it used to be, I would say one design a year, maybe, would be something that I was like, oh, I like the way that looks. Back in like the 2019, 2018 kind of time. But now it's like every single design they put out, I am like, wow, it looks original mostly. It looks really good, detailed.
Yeah, aesthetically, they're on point at the moment.
And can we just talk about how great CIG's ship designer team has done as a recruiting tool for people who want to design spaceships?
Yeah.
Like, if there are people out there that they look at these ships and they just drool and they're like, as a 3D designer or whatever, like, I love that they're doing this. I want to go work for them. And I'm sure they're drawing a lot of recruitment for that top tier talent designing spaceships.
It's kind of funny, because that's what people are always like, oh, all they do is design spaceships. And it's like, well, it's really easy to hire for that if you didn't notice.
The thing that I like to point out is you can tell CIG are doing good when a bunch of YouTube videos about, like, the US have bought this new bomber, and it's like the Hercules.
The stealth fighter. It's like a Pisces.
Yeah, exactly, right? All the time.
Yeah, those are funny. Those, like, Facebook ads that'll pop up. But yeah, their ships and design have gotten really good. And, you know, a point towards that is that when they went on CitizenCon and they were talking about their ship team and the changes in size and everything, they had a big dip because their people were so good that they got scalped by another company. And it just goes to show that, like, they have created the standard for making spaceships. And you can see from these designs, you know, they I was really impressed by the Spirit, how closely it resembled the concept in game. And I think that's like the strongest proof they have of their pipeline and like how healthy it is.
And to take that the next step, right? They design and produce great looking ships, but, you know, we're talking about mining today. Like, is there any other game that does mining gameplay as in depth as what we have right now? Right. They're delivering the gameplay behind these amazing ships as well. And I think that's why a lot of people are back in the project.
Yeah, I would say Elite Dangerous Deep Core Mining is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of in-depth. Like, the mining Elite Dangerous is just exciting. It's not necessarily skillful, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. It's
loud and interesting to look at.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that I have not done the mining in Elite Dangerous, but I've heard a lot about it. And I think that's some of the stuff that we're headed towards in Star Citizen. But I'm also in very much agreement that, like, you can't find another game where you can go out there and attach something to the asteroid you're mining to change the way it mines. And that sort of detail creates so much gameplay for people. Somebody doesn't want to shoot a laser and they only want to do that. And that's cool. Yeah.
Or remove the bags off of your mole mid-flight. I mean, we did that today. We loaded moles up and had a C2 with extra bags and just swapping bags instead of going back to the refinery every time.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff's great. I can't wait to see how it continues to improve and grow. Now, we're going to finish things up running a little shorter of a show today, guys, because we got a tight schedule. But I do want to finish up just kind of talking to you about the general outlook of the next 6 months or so, 12 months, They did tell us that they wanted to have a lot of stuff in the game in 12 months. And as you mentioned, they're moving people over back to the PU for development. So there's a lot of optimism, but there always is. Realistically, what are you guys kind of expecting over, like, let's say the next three updates?
Yeah, we're obviously going to see some stuff from CitizenCon. The question is going to be, how polished is it all going to be? And is it going to be the exact same iteration, or is it going to be a bit of a lighter one, that sort of thing? I will say, look at the game 8 months ago and look at it today during IAE, and it is infinitely better at the very least. So I'm very confident in everything that they're doing in regards to stability. So I expect more of that over the next couple of patches, more and more stableness. And even like I had, just because it's insane, I had server FPS of 2 yesterday. And we went to go do some FPS missions over on Crusader. And the new AI reacted and shot us and still kept running around and hiding and all that sort of stuff, which I knew obviously the new AI was in. I just didn't expect it to work well when the servers were dying. So more of that stuff, I think, is something we can 100% expect.
That's really interesting, because we always attribute it to the server health, that the AI is not great. So I wonder if that's like a combination of different things going on there. But I agree, like, stability-wise, the game's getting better. It feels like game development now, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like things are just getting added to be added. It feels like they've got somewhere where they're headed, which is pretty nice. Red, what about you?
In the near term, like structural salvage coming in, getting more of that salvage gameplay, getting a second industrial loop started to flesh out, I'm excited about that. I feel like that's going to be really useful as we get into Pyro. Have a lot of opportunities there. Long term, you know, they talk about base building, starting development Q1, all those gameplay engineers coming over from Squadron. I feel like we're going to see there's going to be a snowball effect, because how many of our current ISCs talking about engineering gameplay or mining or salvage? It's Thorsten and Guillermo, right? Those two guys have been carrying a lot, and I'm sure there's other people on their team, but the people that have been on Squadron are now coming over, getting onboarded with these guys, and we're going to see an exponential growth, exponential increase in speed of development on these other tools. I'm excited about that. Base building for sure. I got bit by the Pioneer bug this IAE. So
you got one?
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out over the next year.
You should have always had one, Red. Come on, you knew it in your heart. You wanted the Pioneer.
It's destiny. I probably won't be picking up a Pioneer, but I know I'll be using one, and I'm interested in seeing what other ships they introduce. I'm guessing there's going to be something else that's smaller, that can, like, galaxy sized, that's specifically built for base building stuff.
Galaxy.
Well, but that's a module, you know?
So they did show on the base building thing, there was like, you know, six of like different levels of stuff that you'll be able to use to base build. One was the push cart, which is very funny, because I imagine that you're using that to literally just physically lift the boxes and put them where they are. There was a vehicle that looked like an Atlas platform. Mm-hmm. So your Centurion, Ballista, that sort of thing. And then it was the Galaxy and then the Pioneer. I would fully expect there to be something else in there as well that's probably going to help you with that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to structural salvage you mentioned, Red, because that one I think is surprising a lot of people how quickly that's coming in. They showed the prototype for that towards the middle of the year, I think, about July.
Not even really. It was like 2 months ago.
Was it?
It was July, much August, sooner, maybe. I think. But yeah.
But
was that's engineering art too. Remember that. It was very rough. It was showing more or less the box A happened to break apart into, you know, all those others. So.
And what do you think was, why do you guys think it's coming so quickly? You think they just hit a milestone? Was it always in the plans?
Something clicked, right? Something clicked where they were like, oh, hey, we can just link A to B. And it worked, and we tried it out, and it worked. And then
it just works.
All they have to do after that is art, right? Like the proper art. So
I think the code behind it, everything that supports the gameplay, they got a working model up to a point where things looked good, and then you can actually start pinning the, you know, putting the lipstick on it, right? Mm. That once you got it to a functional level, making it pretty, I feel like it was it's going to be a lot easier to do that part rather than go find something wrong with the core tech, the core programming behind how it functions.
Sure, yeah. Well, gosh, it's exciting to see that, like, we're going to have actual salvage, actual mining, and from what they're saying, soon, actual cargo hauling. So, like, three solid industrial professions for people to play next year is going to be good, and it's nice to see mining growing as well. That about wraps up our day, though, guys. I'd like to give you one more chance to say anything that you feel like leading off with, whether it's about the features that we just talked about, salvage or mining or the Arastra, and give you guys a chance to let people know where they can find your content.
So first off, just a quick last thing on salvage. Yeah. I wouldn't be so quick to say that we're going to get structural salvage right this second at least, but we will probably know about it by the end of the week. It's likely we'll get a roadmap roundup. Apparently the go-no-go for structural salvage in 3.22 was last week.
So, oh, okay.
We'll find out. We'll know essentially if it's definitely coming 3.22, but it will be fun nonetheless. But I am Crunzy. I am on Twitch and YouTube and Twitter. Hello.
Always a joy seeing your tweets and your streams, dude. Appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah.
Thank you. Monster, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, the Arastra with the larger scale gameplay, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that as we start getting into more advanced components potentially. And certainly, I want to see mining at an order of magnitude higher than what we got right now. You know, bring us the scale, start pushing closer to that Orion and kind of the end game. As far as mining goes. So
yes.
Of course, Red Monster SC, you can find me on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter as well. And I happen to be a Redditor. So if you guys mentioned me,
I get Redditor. I have not been on Reddit since they made the API change earlier this year.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying Artifact. But
fair enough.
Yeah, check this guy out for the mining stuff. He's got great mining cheat sheets. Both of you put out some great mining videos. Obviously, that's why they're here talking about mining.
Is a better.
They're both better than mine. I just blow rocks up and kill people. Come to me for medical treatment, okay? I'll make sure you're nice and drugged up. But yeah, I wanted to bring these guys on because they've got great mining content. Go check it out on YouTube, on Twitch, on Twitter. And thank you guys one last time for being on. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah. I always appreciate your commentary, and I hope to see you on another one soon.
Yeah, I always appreciate it.
Oh, that'd be great.
Thanks,
man. Yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody. This has been The Launch Sequence. I have been your host, Space Tomato. You can catch these on audio platforms or on YouTube. And I will see you all next week.